Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
In the midst of March Madness, Jeremy Betts and Andrew Wilbar are back on the Steelers Fix with a little mock madness today. We've got some dual seven-round Steelers mock drafts to dive into. That and so much more today on the Steelers Fix. Thank you so much for joining in. My name is Andrew Wilbar. As always, alongside the legendary Jeremy Betts here on the Fix, we focus all things toward roster building and player development. Jeremy, this is our time of year. We love this. And there's nothing we love more than mock drafts. I'm excited for today's show.
Mock drafts are where it's at, Andrew. And I'm telling you right now, we both have a couple doozies to go over today. And some extra picks added in there on mine. And you're moving in different areas for big-time players. So we'll see how it all plays out. But as far as mock draft season goes, Andrew, I know you get into multiple rounds, every team. You got something coming out for that very shortly as well, right? As opposed to just a seven-round mock, which I typically lean myself towards for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, mock 3.0. It goes three rounds long. First 100 picks of the draft are projected. That will be coming out, I'm assuming, either Tuesday or Wednesday. Keep an eye out for that on Fans First Sports Network. And then both Jeremy and I will have our seven-round mocks that will be coming out at some point. So keep an eye out for those. But Jeremy, there's so much to break down, but I think the first thing to dive into is the recent free agent signings the Steelers have made. And yep, that's nothing earth-shattering, but the Steelers have made some key signings, Jeremy. Which one of these recent ones, specifically the ones that happened on Monday — we're recording this on Monday — what was the one that stuck out the most to you?
I think it's the another quarterback. It's Kyle Allen. I think that that's a very good addition as your QB3 in the room, a guy with starting experience in the league. I'm sure the price tag is right where it needs to be to get him in the building as well. And I think that that's your quarterback room, and maybe they do something in undrafted free agency to bring in a fourth guy, a camp arm, if you will. Maybe they take one with one of their six round picks that they have currently. We'll see how that goes. I just don't think that — I think it kind of tells the tale that the Steelers aren't drafting or aren't spending a lot of time in this draft class of quarterbacks. And we'll see how that plays out, I guess, by the end of it. But it just kind of tells the tale of the Steelers being set in the quarterback room and ready to attack other areas of their roster.
I'm excited to see what happens with the Quez Watkins signing.
Yeah.
And the Steelers have brought in several small, low-key free agents, Van Jefferson being one of them. I think it's interesting because of the Philly connection with Weidel. I'm assuming that is what led to the signing. It definitely wasn't the receiver signing I think anyone expected. But he's a guy who's good on special teams. He can be in the mix in that punt return game. If something were to happen to Calvin Austin, could be a guy to kind of back up in the return role. I don't know that he was a lock to make the roster, but this could be a sign that maybe Miles Boykin is not back. I know he's not the same type of receiver, but the more bodies the Steelers add to the room, the less room there is for a guy like Miles Boykin. You know the team is going to add a number two receiver, whether it be through free agency and a guy like Tyler Boyd, whether it be through trading for a guy like Brandon Ayuk, or drafting someone, or maybe it's a combination of those. Maybe we see two other receivers brought in. I think the Steelers still add a decent bit to this wide receiver room, but Quez Watkins is an interesting name. Do you think that he has a chance to make this roster?
I do think he has a chance to make the roster, even if it's as the shifty speed option on the team. I think it's going to shape up to be a battle between him and Calvin Austin for maybe that fourth wide receiver spot. And you're talking about two guys with similar skill sets, but Austin knows the Steelers. He's a draft pick of theirs. I would say that this is no more than a depth signing. You're not relying on Quez Watkins to come in and provide you starting reps at wide receiver. You're probably looking towards the draft or more free agency additions there to make that work. I see a gaping hole at wide receiver two right now. And, you know, when you look at the roster construction, you could say that wide receiver three is still a need as well if you're not high on Van Jefferson. And I'm not a huge Van Jefferson fan. I think he's got enough talent to be able to play and be a rotational piece at wide receiver. But if he's your wide receiver, if he's your wide receiver two, you're in big trouble. If he's your wide receiver three, you're okay with that. You probably would like to push him down the totem pole a little bit further, though.
I agree with that. It's going to be interesting to see which direction the Steelers go. And with Kyle Allen, who would have expected after such a young quarterback room, the Steelers now have three veterans in the room.
Yeah.
And no true youngins. I guess you could consider Justin Fields still in that category, but the Steelers have totally revamped that quarterback room, something that I don't think anybody fully expected to happen, but it has made this offseason interesting nonetheless, and it even adds more intrigue to the draft, just considering the needs the Steelers still have on the roster. Jeremy, is there anything else you'd like to add before we dive into our mocks?
Well, I just thought it was interesting, and it plays well for all the teams in the back half of the top 10 of the draft, and also teams further down if the quarterbacks all go quick, right? Because you're just pushing talent down the draft board here. And I thought it was very interesting, the news that came out on Monday as well, that there's a lot of rumor spreading that Washington, the Commanders' top choice at quarterback might actually be JJ McCarthy instead of Jaden Daniels or Drake May. And that to me would be an absolute shakeup of the draft. And in that situation, you might see teams start to offer a boatload of picks to move up and take that three spot or the four spot from the Patriots or the Cardinals to land one of the two guys, Drake May or Jaden Daniels, that many people have as, if not the top two quarterbacks in the draft, definitely top three behind Caleb Williams, who is fairly consensus as the number one quarterback. I know you and I disagree with that. You've got Jaden Daniels as your number one, and I've actually got Drake May as my number one. So that would kind of play into the minority, I think, there. But you're still looking at a situation where if JJ McCarthy goes number two, the scramble begins. And maybe if you're New England, you're like, oh, okay, well, now we've got our choice between Jaden Daniels or Drake May, and we didn't think that was going to happen. So we're going to just take one of those guys, our favorite one of those guys, and call it a day. Even still, I think number four becomes very interesting because it's not a guarantee if JJ McCarthy's there at four that's where somebody would have to trade up to get him. Maybe somebody would trade up with the Chargers at five. But I think it becomes very intriguing if that's Drake May or Jaden Daniels sitting there at number four, who's going to be willing to pay a king's ransom to move up and take the Cardinals first selection in the first round of the draft.
I think the interesting thing in all of this is that Josh McCown coached Drake May in high school. So it's going to be interesting to see if that connection, Josh McCown is now the quarterback's coach in Minnesota.
Yep.
You've got to think that Minnesota has their eye on May. Maybe they're the team that decides to make that move up. I'm not necessarily surprised to hear the Jaden Daniels rumors, the JJ McCarthy rumors that high, because he seems to be that guy that has all the intangibles that NFL teams are going to look for in a quarterback. I don't think that McCarthy's going to go one. I'm assuming Caleb Williams has that sound insecure, but it would not shock me at all if McCarthy goes number two. Would I take him quite that high? Probably not. Nor would I take any other quarterback besides maybe Jaden Daniels that high. But I think it is interesting just seeing the direction that they are going to go. They traded Sam Howell. So they, if they do go that direction, you've got to think that they see JJ McCarthy as a guy who can step in immediately and start. Not exactly the ideal situation for him, but it's going to be interesting to see how that process unfolds and this, how this quarterback market affects teams like the Steelers in the middle of the draft who have needs at receiver and corner and other positions, could drop some guys down the board, which we're going to get into in the second half of the show. So don't go anywhere, Steelers fans. When we come back, we're going to be breaking down our dual 7-round mock drafts for your Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't go anywhere. The Steelers Fix will be right back after this.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the second half of the Steelers Fix. Andrew Wilbar alongside Jeremy Betts. And Jeremy, one thing I forgot to mention in the first half of the show, the NFL banned the hip drop tackle.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on this other than the fact that we're just getting closer and closer to flag football at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go on record here saying I'm not as big of a hater of the move as maybe some are. I do think that it's an avoidable play for the most part. I think if you look at sports like rugby, you don't see that anymore after they've banned it. And you're talking about a play. Yeah, it's subjective, but it's pretty clear what's a hip drop tackle and what's not when you look at replay, and that's going to be a replayable thing. So I think that that's something that will help teams out. Well, help teams out in the long run for keeping their players healthy. There's a lot of injuries to that type of tackle. It's increasing the percentage chance of a big time injury to a leg or a soft tissue type thing, ligaments and stuff like that with that type of tackle. So while I do understand that there's probably going to be some bumps in the road in administering it and enforcing it, I think in the long run, it'll be a good thing. And so I'm not as against it as maybe some are. And that actually kind of goes against what I thought I would feel about it. But right as of right now, I just kind of see it as the next step. And not going to lie, Andrew, I like offense. And so let's go offense.
I would hate to be a defensive player in the NFL, especially a linebacker in this modern day. I'm going to start wondering when they're going to start expanding officiating crews to be able to keep up with all of these rule changes. It's going to be hard to keep track of all of these things as the game is going on. I think it's getting to the point where you have to consider maybe adding an extra official to each officiating crew, seeing if that just to be watching for specific things like this and tackling and making sure the tackling, because if you're going to enforce it, it's got to be consistent. Yeah. And that's a big concern I have with this rule going forward, but we'll see what happens. But Jeremy, I'm excited about the topic of the show, and we love doing mock drafts. They do take work, and those of you that have never done a mock draft before, it's not easy. It's not just, oh, this player looks like he would look good in black and gold. Those seem to be good colors that fit him. We're just going to put him on the Steelers. There's a lot of thought that goes into it, a lot of time. How realistic is it that this person is available? What is the strategy? The mock drafts are not an exact science. Everyone does mock drafts a little bit different. Jeremy and I believe you can tell me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, but I know for my strategy, and I think yours as well, we typically go based upon what we think makes sense. Ideally, what makes sense for the Steelers based upon what we're hearing, what we think could legitimately happen, more of a projection-based mock draft as to what we think the Steelers are going to do. Not necessarily what we would do if we were the general managers, but what we think the team could do if the draft board falls how it does in our projections. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely formulate mine based on not just rumors that you're hearing, but also on the likelihood of just the Steelers being interested in this type of player and the market that you sense growing for other players and with other teams. I think that this is a very unique season to be picking right in the middle of the draft, because you kind of have, you've got a real serious cutoff in the tier one offensive tackle group. And then also tier one, tier two of the wide receivers, those guys are first rounders, and then really not much else. Are you willing to wait and see if somebody's going to fall to you at 27, 28, 29 in that range, or even later in the first round? Or are you thinking to move up and just make sure you get your guy? So if I'm the Steelers, I think that you have a real good shot of moving back. You'll see that in my mock draft here. But also sticking and picking, you've got your pick of maybe the best of those second tier wide receivers, or the last of the tier one offensive tackles. So it makes sense to even stay put for based on what the Steelers need. So definitely making moves in my mock draft based on real life potential scenarios, and not just, I hope this is how it would happen, this is what I would do. That is not the goal with this. It's to kind of project what could happen in a real life scenario in some multiverse out there. I'm sure one of these goes the right way.
Well, Jeremy and I both had trades in our mock draft. We do project trades. Not everyone does that in mocks, but I like that perspective, being able to do trades based upon what we think is going to happen. And if last year's draft shows you anything, it shows that the Steelers are not afraid under Omar Khan to move up and down the draft board and what they believe is the best way to maximize their value with their draft picks. However, despite our trades, we still both ended up with 7 picks for the Steelers at the end of the day. And the first round, we both had trades, but we had them going different directions. And Jeremy, I'll start with this one because I want to get your thoughts on this. In this scenario, and if you want the full reason why this player fell to where he did, you can check out Mock 3.0 on fansfirstsports.com. You can catch all the picks and see how he fell to where he did. I have the Steelers trading up to pick 12 with the Denver Broncos. Last time the Steelers traded up with Denver Broncos, it was for Devin Bush. Hopefully this one works out a little bit better. I have the Steelers giving up picks 20 and 51, as well as a 2025 fifth-round pick, while the Steelers get back the 12th pick in the draft and pick 76, which doesn't seem like a horrible trade in terms of value for on the Steelers' end. But if you compare it to some of the trades in last year's draft at the similar ranges, I don't think it's unfeasible. I think this is very similar to value last year, because remember, the ones who usually generate the most on trade-ups are quarterbacks. And I more than likely, the top four quarterbacks are gone at this point. There's nobody else that's likely going to be trading up for a quarterback. So I think you're looking at this from the perspective that the trade value outside the top 10 is going to significantly drop. If there's a team that doesn't love someone, and you look at Denver, a team that needs a quarterback, would you really want to take Bo Nix at 12, or would you feel a little bit better about yourself by being able to move up from the third to the second round at least and still getting the guy that you may have circled on your draft board at 20? That's better value for Denver. I have the Steelers getting Rome Odunze. Not necessarily what I would do. I don't like the idea of trading up for a receiver in a draft that is this deep with them. But what are your initial thoughts on Rome Odunze to the Steelers at pick 12?
Difference maker on day one. That's just what he is. And so I would be okay with trading up for one of those top three guys. Whether that's Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. is obviously not happening. Rome Odunze, it would be a miracle in my eyes if he made it outside the top 10, just based on what teams at the back end of the top 10 need. But if that were to play in this scenario, which it is a scenario that could play out based on your mock, and it does make sense that this could be a scenario how it plays. But when you're the Pittsburgh Steelers and you're looking for a guy to make a difference on your offense and really complement what George Pickens already does and help your quarterbacks out, Rome Odunze is the guy. I mean, he's one of the better route runners in this draft at 6'3", 215. I mean, he's a big dude, and he's got a lot of potential in any offensive scheme that you could put him in. I really like him. So I would not hate moving up to land Odunze, especially if this is the capital you're having to give up for him. That's a no-brainer type of decision for me when you have still the ability to maneuver picks again later on in the draft.
I'm curious to see where you go here, because I know you said that you have a trade as well in the first round, but I believe it's for a trade back. Why don't you explain where you go with this selection for the Steelers in round one?
Yeah, my best case scenario is that the Kansas City Chiefs really love a wide receiver or an offensive tackle that they don't think that they're going to get at 32, and they want to have better offense than they did last year and really go for that three-peat, and they're willing to make the move up to do so. So that was my scenario here. And I have the Steelers sending pick 20 and then their final pick in the draft, the sixth round pick 195 to the Chiefs, and the Chiefs giving up the final pick of the first and second rounds, 32 and 64 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the Steelers landing Zach Frazier with that first pick. I don't think you pull the trigger on Zach Frazier at 20, but I think that there is a strong likelihood he's gone before you would come around to your second round pick, which is 51. And if that is the case, I think the Steelers could trade back and still land a guy that they really like at what might be their biggest priority this offseason, the center position, and accumulate some more picks to help themselves down the road. I love Zach Frazier. I think he fits the Steelers' mold. I think that, again, the Steelers are talking a lot about the center position. Omar Khan talked about it today, being Monday. And then Mike Tomlin also talked about it on Monday. They're very much zoned in on center. I think it's going to be an early pick for them. I wouldn't be surprised if it's their first round pick.
It wouldn't surprise me either. I am curious to see which direction they go. And Frazier with the local connections definitely makes a lot of sense at the back end of round one. Compensation is pretty good too. Steelers getting a late second round pick to go along with pick 32. And honestly, if the Steelers are set on taking a center, why not trade back at that point? The only team that could potentially be in play for Frazier, I would say, the back end of the first round would be San Francisco, another team that could use a center. But I don't know that there's any other team that would take him in between 20 and 32. So if you can get another pick out of it like you have here, I think that's a solid move for the Steelers. I like Frazier at that point of the first round. Let's move to the second round, because there's still a lot of picks we want to get to here. Because of my trade, the Steelers don't have a second round pick in mind, but the Steelers still have two in yours.
Yeah.
Let's go over to yours. You have one of my Michigan men coming off the board next, Roman Wilson. What do you think about his fit with the Steelers, and how ideally do you think he is going to fit in the black and gold?
Man, I see him as kind of a direct Deontay Johnson replacement, but I think he's more explosive than DJ ever was. I think he's faster. I think he's even quicker, just more twitched up than Deontay Johnson. And I know Deontay Johnson, quite the route running technician, but Roman Wilson has a little more explosiveness to him, in my opinion. I think that, again, the Steelers, not so subtle that they really want a wide receiver too, not so subtle that they really need a center. So I would be surprised if those aren't the first couple picks in this draft. So I'm going to go with Roman Wilson here at 51. And then I do have them landing a tackle at the back end of the second round. That's kind of why I was like, you know what? The Steelers really getting into that second round, they could maybe latch onto one of those tier two tackles. Patrick Paul from Houston is kind of a project player, but super athletic, long, big dude. He kind of fits their mold, what they would like. And I think he could play swing tackle in his first year before having to take over on one side or the other after the Steelers, in all likelihood, move on from Dan Moore Jr. after the season, not before the season.
Patrick Paul is what Dan Moore only wishes he could be physically.
Yeah.
The role that Patrick Paul could come in and play could be exactly what Dan Moore does now and do just as good a job, at least as a run blocker. He is physically imposing, a big dude, a guy who's got some technical issues, but a guy who, if he's still available at the end of the second round, that's solid value. It's someone who's getting some looks, potentially late first. I don't think he goes late first as of now. That could always change by draft day, but we're only 1 month away from the draft. So I think at this point you're looking at him as probably an early second round pick, and if he falls to that, I think that's good value for the Steelers. We've already talked about Roman Wilson before. The next pick we have in this mock, Jeremy, you actually have one pick before mine because of another trade. So in our mocks, I have the Steelers picking at 76. You have the Steelers picking at 75. Neither of us have the next pick as the Steelers' actual third-round pick. We'll get to that in a minute. But since we're going in order, Jeremy, where are you going here in round three for the Steelers? I see a trade.
Yeah, they're moving up this time instead of back, and it's for a defensive tackle, a guy that absolutely looks like a Pittsburgh Steeler. We talked at the top here, Andrew. We don't just pick players because they would look good in black and gold. This guy would look good in black and gold, and that's why I did it. That's why I did it, because not only do I not saying that this is a stretch of the imagination at all, he's definitely a guy who could be there in the third round for them. But I do think if you want him, you might have to move up. He's definitely an upside pick for late on day two. So I have the Steelers trading up with the Bears, who only have four picks in this draft. I think that they would be more than willing to move back and maybe add an extra pick here. So I have the Steelers sending picks 84 in the third round and then 119, their fourth round pick, to the Bears in exchange for 75. That's how the trade value charts line up these picks. And I think that the Steelers go and get Mason Smith out of LSU, long and a big player, but also kind of muscular and lean for his size, if you will. Very athletic, very quick. Didn't have the production. It would be an upside play for them. But if there's anybody on the coaching staff, Andrew, that we trust to really develop players, it's Carl Dunbar on that defensive line. And I think that you see him get the most out of guys that maybe aren't even that good. I think Mason Smith has a chance to be a really good player and kind of take the Steelers into the future at defensive tackle along with Keanu Benton.
I want to visit this defensive line position in just a minute, because I have another selection for the Steelers at that position that we're going to get to with the original third round pick. But remember, in that trade I had with Denver in the first round, the Steelers did get Denver's third round pick while giving up their second and future fifth round pick. I have the Steelers getting, with that pick, pick 76, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame. He's a guy who's really flown under the radar until he had a strong showing at the combine. Mm-hmm. And it kind of caused teams to go back and reevaluate his tape. He's not the all-pro prospect that Joe Alt is, but he did a solid job manning the other tackle spot on a strong Notre Dame offensive line. And you look at the Steelers after letting go of Chukwuma Okorafor, after Dan Moore's just proven he's not the guy, no matter how hard the Steelers try to make him that guy on the offensive line, he's more of a swing tackle. And he doesn't bode a whole lot of confidence on either side of the line. Getting someone like Fisher allows the Steelers to move Broderick Jones to his ideal spot on the left side of the line. Fisher isn't the biggest man. He's not a J.C. Latham in this draft that is just going to impose his will against you and say a man gap scheme. But for a team that's going to run a lot of zone concepts like the Steelers will, I think he's a guy who can fit. He's a guy, he's got good feet. He's got good mirroring skills and pass protection. And he's a guy who knows how to get his hands in the right spot on the opponent's pads and be able to push defenders back and use leverage to win in the run game. He's a guy that I've started to warm up to a little bit. I think he'd make sense, the pedigree that he has. I think that makes a lot of sense for the Steelers there. Do you have any additional thoughts on Blake Fisher?
I think he's a guy that has a lot of upside. I really do. And that's the play you're making if you're picking a tackle outside of the first round, really, is this guy's got upside. He's got traits. Let's bring him in and see if we can coach him up into something starting caliber. Fisher has those traits, I think. And again, like you're talking about pedigree and the school he plays for, the Steelers like Notre Dame prospects. I think he and the Yale tackle, Andrew,
Kieran Yanada Hedy, whatever.
Yeah,
his
something
name
along
is.
The yeah. Kieran, or however you say his first name. I think they're kind of in that same tier, right? The maybe tier four offensive tackles in this class, but they still have a lot of upside. And you don't want to start them day one, but maybe by the end of year one or definitely in year two, they could project into a starting role. I like that a lot, especially sending picks to go get Rome Odunze in the first round like you did, finishing adding some more here on the offensive line is a good deal. And I think you go more offensive line later as well.
I do. And when you look at this mock on paper, especially if you're not the biggest Rome Odunze fan, it's not going to appease you. And I'm waiting to get some flack for this. I have a feeling that people in the comments section on steelcurtainnetwork.com when this comes out probably aren't going to be the biggest fans of this mock draft, just the way things shook out. But again, this is based on projection, not necessarily what I would do as general manager of the Steelers. But one guy I do think could be a great fit, and this was honestly one of my favorite picks in the draft. There's not a whole lot of buzz surrounding him as it pertains to the Steelers. But yeah, a guy who a lot of people are projecting to go in the second round that I think could drop a little bit and fall through the cracks is Rook Arororo. defensive lineman from Clemson. Fans would have a great name. Fun time pronouncing his name. Ruko Roro. The man grew up in Nigeria. He moved to the United States when he was 9, played high school football in Michigan, was still fairly new to the sport, and he's still learning parts of the game, even though he's been around it for a long time now. Still learning the full concepts, and just he's still very raw. But the athletic traits are off the board. He's 6'4", 294 pounds. He has the size to develop into a high upside 5 technique. And the nice part about coming to the Steelers is that he's not going to be rushed into a starting role, because you have Larry Ogunjobi, you have Cameron Hayward still there. If you want someone who can ideally replace Cameron Hayward next year, and Mason Smith's another guy we've talked about who could be in that mix as well. But the Steelers like to draft for a year in advance. There's no guarantee Cameron Hayward is back in 2025 for the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Getting a guy like this year, albeit in a weaker defensive line draft, I think there's this Ruko Roro could be a gem. He's not someone people are talking a lot about. But if you want someone, again, back to Carl Dunbar, who has the raw traits to be able to turn a guy like a Roro into an absolute star, Carl Dunbar is your guy. I think you let him in maybe on some third downs this year, and maybe and blow out wins, blow out losses, give him a little bit of playing time. But he's not going to have to do a whole lot year one. That's why I like this fit so much. Fans may get a little aggravated. Oh, is this going to be another DeMarvin Leal pick? He's not DeMarvin Leal. Don't try to put every defensive lineman like they're DeMarvin Leal. DeMarvin Leal was DeMarvin Leal. I don't really know what else to say. He's the tweener that he never fit any one spot in the NFL, and it doesn't look like he's going to. But real quick before we move on, because I have another pick in the third round, thoughts on Ruko Roro?
Oh, Roro, your boat down that stream all day, Steelers fans. Our Steelers front office, I like it. I think that he's a guy with a ton of upside. I really do. The Steelers paid him some attention when they were at Clemson's Pro Day, so something to keep in mind there as well. I don't have a lot of thoughts on him outside of what you described him as, but I would like to pick. So I will not be one of those Steeler fans, Andrew, being a hater on this mock draft of yours. I think it's good so far.
Well, the Steelers in the trade for Kenny Pickett did move up from the fourth round into the third round, getting another pick, a compensatory selection pick 98 in the draft. And with this pick, I have the Steelers finally addressing center. And I was looking at it, I thought long and hard, after the Steelers had traded up, would the Steelers maybe make another move up for a guy like Cedric Van Praan, a guy that I really like? Or would they consider making a huge move up and really just honing in on a couple players? I thought I hadn't done the trade with Odunze, giving the Steelers Malachi Corley in the second round, and then taking a guy in the first, like a Graham Barton from Duke, who I see as a David DeCastro-type player at guard as opposed to center, but someone a lot of people are projecting to center. I have the Steelers taking Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin, and he's not necessarily the most ready. You have to bring in a veteran, and in this mock, I have the Steelers bringing in a vet. I think that they're going to bring in a guy like Brian Allen. I think that's a great fit for the Steelers, but the Steelers have to find someone to develop at the position. Bordellini, he fits the Steelers, what we used to call spark scores. Now we're all into the RAS and the relative athletic scores. Bordellini is your guy. He doesn't have the greatest length. I believe he has 32-inch arms, if I remember correctly. Not the longest arm length, but acceptable. Better than some of the other centers we've talked about in this draft. But he's got top-level athleticism and cross the board. I think he ran like a 5.01 40 at the combine. His split time was good. All of his athletic testing was off the charts for center. And he is physical in the run game. He has starter potential, but he's not going to be ready to start immediately. That's why I think if you bring in a veteran, it makes a little bit of sense. The Steelers like that Wisconsin connection, another Big Ten school. Tanner Bordellini, a lot of projection there, but if the Steelers miss out on one of those top three centers being Van Praan, Powers, Johnson, Frazier, is Bordellini a guy you could see the Steelers going after?
Absolutely. He stood out to me from the first moment at the combine. And not a guy I had done a lot of study on before that, but once you saw him move, you have to go back and look at the tape. And it's pretty impressive tape, honestly. I think, again, he's a guy that's going to need some work at the next level. You don't want to plug and play him at center, but I would project, Andrew, that he'd be better plugged and played at center than Kendrick Green was, right? I think that that's a pretty safe bet. So you would at least be better off than that. And if you bring in Brian Allen, he's a perfect option to kind of sit back there and study a little bit before getting his opportunity.
Let's move to round four, and we'll go back to yours for this one, Jeremy. We had a lot going on in that third round, but your trades aren't done. You have yet a third trade in this mock draft, and it's with another NFC North team, not the Chicago Bears. I'm not sure if the Chicago Bears will ever decide to do business with the Pittsburgh Steelers after what happened this offseason, but you have a trade here with Minnesota here in the fourth round. Explain that trade and why the move at this point.
Yeah, so... But if you've been tracking, the Steelers in this mock draft, if you get to this point, have no fourth round pick, no fifth round pick, and no seventh round pick in this draft. Okay. So I'm sitting here with the pick 98, the compensatory pick that came over from the Eagles in the trade for Kenny Pickett. And I'm looking at the Vikings, who, after trading with the Texans, to gain their first round pick, and now they sit with 11 and 23. They don't have another pick until the fourth round. And in the fourth round, they have two picks, and in the fifth round, they have two picks. So I have them sending the Pittsburgh Steelers one of each of those, a fourth round pick and a fifth round pick, to move up and at least have a selection in day two, giving the Steelers a fourth round pick, which would be 108. And I have them taking DJ James, the cornerback out of Auburn. Andrew, I see a little bit of inside-outside versatility with James. I do think that he probably probably makes his mark on the inside at nickel corner, though, at the NFL level. You've probably done a little more study on him than I have, but I thought he was very smooth mover in transition, a good athlete. He's not going to wow you, I don't think, with crazy speed. I did think he ran in the upper 4.3s, though, at the combine, right?
In that 4.39
or something like that. Yeah. So it's obviously well over the thresholds that you want to see for a cornerback, and maybe flying a little bit under the radar in the nickel corner conversation. But I do think with some of his inside outside versatility too, he could be an attractive play for the Steelers. I have them going this direction in the early fourth round after getting some picks back from Minnesota.
Yeah. For the record, James ran a 4.42. In the 40, okay. I just looked that up. So 4.42, he's got solid speed. There's times where I wish he was a little bit more physical. Sometimes he gives a little bit too much leeway to receivers at the beginning of a route. But a guy, like you said, in the nickel, a guy who could be good as long as he is willing to dedicate a little bit more to being more physical in the run game and being a little bit more of a help in that area. But a guy who's got good cover skills, I think he's a solid fit if he falls this far. I think there's a chance he could go late day two. But definitely there's going to be some guys that fall through the cracks and come to this point in the draft. And obviously the Steelers there at that point with that trade at pick 108, solid signing there, solid acquiree. I have the Steelers staying at their pick 121 in the fourth round and taking a local guy, MJ Devonshire, corner. So we're on the same wave points here with the Steelers taking a corner in the fourth round. Just generally speaking, before we get into Devonshire, I think we both agree that the Steelers, while they do need to add more at corner, I think the Steelers are content with what they have right now in Dante Jackson and their developmental guys in Darius Rush and Corey Trice on the outside, which allows them to focus more on nickel corner, something that they really do need to add. But that doesn't mean they have to take one round one or two. I would honestly be shocked if the Steelers take one in the first or the second round at corner right now. Would you as well?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think that that's in the plan based on everything we're hearing and the bigger holes on the roster at this point.
I agree. And with Devonshire, a very similar guy I think that's going to be more of a nickel guy at the NFL level. He has enough size. You could argue he plays on the outside, but I like him better in the slot. If the Steelers miss out on a guy like Mike Sanders still in the third round, who I would love, and I think would be a great fit. If they go another option, go local again. Devonshire, he's been a pre-draft riser. He had a great combine performance. His 2023's tape was strong. He isn't physical, and that's the thing that teams are going to knock on him. He is not physical, but he does provide good burst. He has good instincts, and he has good ball skills. If I remember correctly, I think he had 5 picks this past season, so he knows how to come away with big plays and big moments. He has the potential to be a strong nickel corner, just a little raw, But a guy who, you know, when you look at guys that the Steelers brought in this offseason, if you bring in another safety in the draft that can play the nickel, or you have Darius Rush that can play inside if he has to, better on the outside. But the Steelers have options. The cupboard's not completely bare there. But MJ Devonshire is where I went in round four. Jeremy, if you have any other thoughts you can add on Devonshire, if you want to just go to your next pick, you take it away.
Yeah, like you said, Devonshire, James, they're pretty similar players when you talk about where you see them being projected as far as starting in the NFL. And I do think that you have a better chance if you're the Steelers of landing a close to starting caliber, if not starting caliber, nickel corner in the middle rounds of the draft than you do an outside corner. So that would make sense for the Steelers to kind of make that play with Dante Jackson in the building amongst others that they have high hopes for. I'm going to go on to my round five pick that was acquired in this last trade that the Minnesota Vikings sent up. And that's pick 157 sent up from the Vikings. And I'm going to go with an inside linebacker. I know that the Steelers bring in Patrick Queen. I don't think they're done adding there potentially either. And Jalen Ford out of Texas represents pretty good value to me in the fifth round. I think he's a plus type player, big time tackler, right? Just a tackling machine, cleanup guy. I don't think he's super instinctive. I don't think he's super athletic, but I do think he's kind of, he's one of those guys, maybe like a Vince Williams that can just fill a gap and make a tackle, fill a gap and make a tackle. And that's kind of what you need at this point now that you've got Patrick Queen in the building. And he would be definitely good depth behind guys like Landon Roberts and Cole Holcomb, who knows what his health situation is based on what we're hearing. It sounds like he's progressing fairly well, but that's a big enough injury. Even if he's progressing well, he may not be ready to start week one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. There's a wide range on where he could go in the draft. The inside linebacker market is going to dry up really, really fast. And while I'm not the biggest fan of Ford, I don't think that at this point in the draft it's terrible value. He has some upside. He has solid instincts, does a good job wrapping up, making wrap-up tackles in the open field, quick to shoot gaps, a little inconsistent on the coverage, and he has decent range, but just doesn't have the greatest instincts when he is in coverage, not the greatest awareness either. So that could be something that really affects his draft stock negatively. But if he's there in round five, I think that's solid value for him. But moving on to round six, Jeremy, we both had the Steelers keeping pick 178. I still had another pick in pick 195. I will note that in this selection, in this projection, the Steelers had not yet signed Kyle Allen. So I had the Steelers taking a quarterback with the last pick. But let's compare where we went with pick 178, Jeremy. I went with Iabi Okeanoma from Charlotte. You went with Malik Mustafa, a safety. What do you believe the Steelers, what do you believe is the most important area for the Steelers to add depth at? Obviously, I agree with safety. I'm just not sure Mustafa would be there at that point. I think there's a chance he could go as early as day two. That's just me, but I'm a big fan of Mustafa. Tell me why you're a fan as well.
I think he has been rising up boards. I just think that he's a tackling machine. I think he's the best tackling safety in this class of all of them. So that definitely could push him up the board. I don't think he's super high-end athleticism, though. He's more of an instinctive player to me. He kind of puts himself in the right position based on his knowledge of the game rather than super explosive traits. But I do love his ability to tackle. He's got good size. I think he can come up in the box and kind of be that dime linebacker, that box safety type player, and be a special teams ace as well, kind of playing the special teams role early, much like Jalen Ford. I meant to mention that about him as well. I think special teams could be a spot where he makes an impact pretty early, but just as an impact hitter and a good tackler, I really like Mustafa, and one of my favorite names in the draft as well.
He's physical. He's physically imposing. He's good at coming downhill, and there's not that many great strong safeties in this draft. He's definitely a guy that I have my eye on. Excited to see. I don't know if I had a chance to check out and see when Wake Forest Pro Day was, but I'm going to have to go back and look because I'm very intrigued to see what he tests athletically. There's a lot of projections all over the place with him. I think that he's going to surprise. I know that during the offseason, he had a 36.5-inch vertical jump, and I know that he hit 23 miles per hour in game this year. So he actually has some speed to him. Not sure if that means that that would translate to straight line and say a 40 time though. Excited to see what he would run there for the Steelers. Like I mentioned a minute ago, Iabi Okeanoma. This guy's would be quite the polarizing pick, Jeremy. Iabi Okeanoma, if we can, even if we can pronounce his name by the time we get to draft day, he is a raw, super raw defender, but very athletic. The anomaly in this is that even in today's age, I don't care whether it was days past or days today, Okeanoma is a quad transfer.
A oh, wow. Quad
transfer. He transferred from Alabama to Houston, from Houston to Tennessee Martin, from Tennessee Martin to Michigan, and then from Michigan to Charlotte. Follow that.
Wow.
Now, part of it, and this is the downside, this is the reason why he is, one of the reasons why he's so low. Downside is that character concerns had a big impact on him as an early, in the early portion of his career. The first two times that he transferred was because of character flaws and problems at those spots for him. He had problems at Alabama, ended up having to go, hey, you're out of here. It's kind of the similar thing happened when he was in Houston, forced to go to Tennessee Martin. For the most part, it looks as if he's gotten himself back on track. I mean, there's no way to know without knowing him personally, but he hasn't gotten into any trouble recently that I'm aware of. He did fine at Michigan and then went to Charlotte this past year, got a little bit more playing time, and finally blossomed, developed a little bit more. And we know the connection with Alex Highsmith, Charlotte. The Steelers know that that school exists. The Steelers know that there's talent that goes to that school. So Okeanoma, he was a guy that had a lot of talent coming out of college, was a highly touted recruit, kind of fell under the radar, but a guy who still got a lot of talent. And despite some character concerns and other issues, he'd be an ideal developmental guy in the later rounds. Could be worth bringing along, considering the Steelers haven't yet brought back Marcus Golden, which could still happen. But the Steelers, unless they bring back Golden, have a need for another linebacker. They lack a little bit of depth out on the edge. How early do you think the Steelers could potentially go for an edge rusher?
I think day three, but it is a sneaky need for them. Even if you do bring back Marcus Golden, because it would most likely be on a one-year deal, and then you need future players at that spot. So if you are looking ahead as the Steelers, then you need to address it at some point. And I think that this is an extremely high upside player, and that's what you're trying to go for at this point. And character concerns aside, I just think that this is a guy who, with the transfers and everything, never reached his ceiling, has a lot of meat left on the bone, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, and maybe the Steelers defense and that coaching staff would be the right spot to get that out of him. But I don't think the Steelers make a move at edge rusher unless the value is just ridiculous on day two. I would say they're not going to make a move until day three of this draft at edge rusher, if then.
I would agree with that. And we'll finish this mock, Jeremy, with a guy who I don't know really makes a whole lot of sense at this point after the Steelers have added a third quarterback. I personally wouldn't draft one at all at this point, but I did have the Steelers in this selection when they only had two quarterbacks on the roster, taking Devin Leary, a quarterback from Kentucky, a guy who just 2 years ago, some people thought could be a potential first round pick after having 35-5 touchdown ratio at NC State, had a down year last year, had his interception numbers were still high this past year, but he's shown flashes of potential and a guy who has some upside in the later rounds. What would you think of adding a guy like Devin Leary to the fold, a guy who's probably going to get drafted, but say he goes undrafted or falls in the seventh round, the Steelers garner a seventh round pick. What would you think of bringing in Devin Leary as that fourth quarterback?
I'd like it. Big arm, right? Lots of arm talent there. Some untapped potential. Do I think he would develop into anything more than maybe a serviceable backup? No, but I mean, those guys are pretty valuable in the league as well. So when you got a guy with arm talent, anything's possible. So he would be my favorite over a Sam Hartman or, you know, guys like that kind of fit into that sixth, seventh, priority undrafted free agent range. But I like Leary's arm talent better than most of those other guys.
We've gotten through both of our mocks, Jeremy. This was fun. I always enjoy doing these comparisons and seeing where we go. But let me ask you one question before we wrap it up. If you could change one thing in either of our mock drafts, if you were the GM, whether it be my mock draft or your mock draft, what is one pick that you'd be like, Jeremy Betts, I would do this differently than what I projected or what I projected?
Yeah. I don't know. I might still make a play potentially for a big physical corner a little bit earlier in one of these, if one of those guys is available to you. But I do think that fourth round is kind of a sweet spot if you want a nickel corner or a developmental big corner, like a Cam Hart or a Kyrie Jackson, maybe that fourth round, late third round type of situation there. So pick 98 could be a spot where they go with that. I just think it's pretty clear the direction that the Steelers are going to go. I think wide receiver's a priority. I think center's a priority. And I would have to assume that offensive tackle's a priority, even though they're downplaying that a little bit, maybe trying to not show their hand too much. But so not much I would change at this point. I probably would drop the quarterback and move on to something else now that the Steelers have added Kyle Allen. But obviously when this was written, that was not known at the time. But if they were going into the draft with two quarterbacks, I love the swing here for Devin Leary.
Well, Steelers fans, this was a fun show. We hope you enjoyed it. Follow Jeremy at the Bets 93. Jeremy, did you get to your 500 yet?
I did not get this. I was at 497. All right. And then Twitter did like a cleanup of their accounts or whatever, and I dropped to 470. So I'm out of the race a little bit there after the cleanup. So, but that's okay. I'd rather have real people following me than a bunch of fake accounts. And I'd rather be interacting with actual real people. So keep hitting that follow button. There's a lot of content. I post all of our shows. I post content other than that as well, if you're a Steelers or NFL fan. So stay tuned.
Make sure you check out all of our work here at the Steel Curtain Network. We got more big boards coming out. We're working on several different positions right now, including the running backs that's going to be coming out soon, as well as inside linebacker, which is going to be coming out in the near future as well. So stay tuned. We got several more positions on the big board. Those are going to be coming out fast, 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 just like the draft is going to be getting here. We're only 1 month away, Steelers fans. Can you wait? I definitely can't. I know, Jeremy, you can't as well. We'll be back with more draft content and whatever else happens with the Pittsburgh Steelers next week on the Steelers Fix. See you next week.